Please open the Word of God with me at Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. And tonight our theme is those who miss out on salvation through Christ pay a terrible cost. Ephesians, chapter 2, and we'll read up to verse 13. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And the Lord will be pleased to bless that reading from his word. Don't miss out. The high cost of not being saved. Tremendous cost. Or what it costs not to be a Christian. Several times I've seen a cartoon and it depicts a boy in probably junior primary age bracket, and it's bedtime. And his father's sitting beside the bed with some bedtime stories. He has several books. He has a Bible. But he has a Sunday school workbook from a liberal Sunday school, pointing out the myths in the Bible, and a book showing man coming from the ape. Father seems to be angry and fuming, but the boy is smiling radiantly. Obviously, father has been talking about the origin of species and myths in the Bible and so on. But the boy looks up simply and he says, "But Dad, it's easier to believe the Bible." Isn't that true? They make it so complicated. And the same applies in many directions, like that father. People bypass the simple way of salvation because they have a better way, they think. They have a harder way. They have a more complicated way. They seem to be obsessed with the idea they've got to make a contribution, which is corrupt, of course. So they have a way that has much more work, a way with more self-denial, and a way that has mental gymnastics, a way that's far more costly. Some say it costs a lot to be a Christian. That's partly true, but whatever it costs, it isn't worth keeping whatever you get instead. But something that's far more true is that it costs a lot not to be a Christian. It's a very costly deal to go through life without the benefits of the gospel. A young woman one time was being spoken to about salvation when she finally said, "Oh, don't talk that way. It makes me think, and I hate to think." Disturbing, you see. There are many people like that. They hate to think. And you know why? They think about where they're going. They count the cost, and it alarms them. But they switch off. You know what they do. Or do you? They keep themselves occupied. They go more often to the club. They go out dancing. They keep the radio turned on. They watch the TV more. They go to wild parties. They drink a lot. Take drugs. And they watch Dracula films or whatever. To get their mind off these disturbing thoughts of eternity. One woman one day was talking across the back fence to her neighbour, and she said, "I got to thinking the other day, you know how it is when the TV goes on the blink." There's much truth there, really. But don't we see, or we did see, as a different generation now, but there used to be the generation that had the transistor radio glued to the ear, or grafted, I suppose. And it's been proved to be a mental anaesthetic in many cases. And you know, they've admitted it when they finally come to Christ, or some did, and get straightened out. Many people hate to think about ultimate issues, and as a result, they go into things blindfolded. Blinded minds lead to blasted hopes, blighted lives, and broken hearts. What a future. It's not worth it. Come to Christ. Get to know him. And often they go into ill-considered business deals, finish up with a load of debt. Often they get into a syndicate of shady connections and finish in bondage, even fearing for their lives. And a very common situation entered by many blindfolded is marriage. Many of the resulting problems could have been foreseen, but most people, or many people, don't want to listen. But the most common direction for blindfolded procedure is in the matter of being or not being a Christian. People drift on into a Christless life without ever stopping to think what it costs. What it costs to be without Christ, without God, without hope in the world. It's costly. Think tonight, if you're here without Christ. And I pray that if there's one or two here without Christ, we can talk to you tonight in the Spirit. If there's one here without Christ, think what it costs you not to be a Christian. Or think what it will cost you. Think tonight whether you're willing to pay that cost. And if not, flee to Christ at once. Come tonight. Let's do business with God tonight. To be a Christian, of course, means to own up to the fact that you've sinned against the holy God and that you're lost without him. You see that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has come in the flesh, has taken the penalty for your sin, which the penalty which you rightly deserve. And he took that penalty when he died on the cross. All the judgment of God was heaped upon him for you. And you receive then the gift that God offers you in Jesus Christ. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, washed in the shed blood of the Lamb of God, a place in heaven, fellowship with God, and so on. And then you live for Jesus Christ. All these things are open to you if you take a step of faith. But not being a Christian means that you reject or ignore Jesus Christ for some reason, and you go on to take your chances in eternity. Hey, that's bad gambling. They'd never run a book on that if they knew what they're doing. No, don't take your chances in eternity, and don't live a self-orientated life on earth. Come to Christ. So think of the terrible cost of not being a Christian. We're going to look at 6 points here. Number one, this is what you sacrifice. You sacrifice peace of conscience by not coming to Christ, by not trusting him. Some people make very noble sacrifices. There are some wonderful stories. But to sacrifice so much that God intended you to have is to pay too much for too little. Peace of conscience is something that no one can afford to give up. Without peace of conscience, you'll be tormented in this life, and certainly very much in the life to come. This is what you're sacrificing to remain a non-Christian if you are. There's a good verse here for us to continue on. It's in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means to be forgiven. It means to hold up your head, that there's no accusation against your little stick, that you'll be accepted with God, that you'll be able to make a new start, to be justified. Not even the devil can accuse you. He's got nothing on you, because you're justified in the sight of God. You can look man in the face, in the eye, and you can look God in the eye. Justified. Beautiful. And it talks here in this verse about peace with God. His condemnation of you is removed, and you have peace. The barrier of your sin is taken away, and you have peace with God. You have sweet fellowship with God in peace. And it says in that verse, through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he did, he took your place under the penalty and punishment for your sin. He took it himself because he loves you. He was God in the flesh. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He died a perfect and sacrificial death, all for you, to take away your sin, to cleanse your conscience. There is no peace without a clear conscience. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, that's Colossians 1:20. Dr. R.A. Torrey, who was a companion of D.L. Moody and song leader and Bible teacher and so on, he was talking to a traveller one day, and he said to this traveller, why are you not a Christian? The man said, I'm very well satisfied with the way I'm living, thank you. And Dr. Torrey said, but you have no peace. The man said, how do you know that? Dr. Torrey said, God says so. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. He's pretty straight, isn't he? And so I can say to you, if you're not in Christ, it has cost you your peace, peace of conscience, to be away from Jesus Christ, to be in enmity with God. And number two, the second sacrifice that you make by not coming to Christ is the sacrifice of hope. We have a good Aussie expression, no hoper. It's not very nice, but it's in very wide use. It has been for decades. It started as a means of describing someone whose life was going downhill. No goals, no potential, no ambition. But really, it far better describes an unsafe person, no hope. An unsafe person is a no hoper. Simple as that. There are many, and they've sacrificed a real hope for present enjoyment. What a poor deal. What a loss. Where will you be 100 years from now? Think about it. These are the things that people don't like to think about. Where will you be? Do you know? Do you know for sure? Do you have hope? We'd love to help you, and we can help you. God tells us how we can have hope, how you can be sure of heaven. Are you sure of heaven? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Don't give me that I hope so stuff, because if you hope so, you're not saved. If you think so, you're not saved. A Christian, one who is consciously trusting in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, has hope, wonderful hope, great hope. A real hope. Now, there are two expressions about hope, and we need to get them sorted out. There is the Christian hope. That means life in heaven after you die. That's the Christian hope. But there's also the blessed hope. That is that you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when he comes. That's the blessed hope. They're the way they're used in the scriptures. Now, come with me to Titus. chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The epistle of Paul to Titus. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hope of eternal life. God promised it to those who believe. A wonderful hope, resting on a perfect foundation. And God cannot lie. It's the one thing he cannot do. Cannot lie. There was an artist whose surname was Watt, W-A-T-T. And he painted a picture of hope. He painted it in a strange way. It was the figure of a woman sitting above the world. She was playing the string of a harp. She's playing forever on a single string because all the other strings are broken. There's only one hope for eternity for you. It's like one string on a harp. All the others are broken. Didn't amount to anything. It's a picture of every person who has ever tackled the mystery of life. When all the temporary strings of your life are broken, what last string can you play on in eternity? Or have you sacrificed the string of a hope for eternity for the strings that break in a life during your lifetime here on earth and leave you a no-hoper? There's one string in eternity. It's trusting Christ, knowing him and loving him. The sacrifice of going without, that's not worth it. Not worth it. Well, number three, you sacrifice the sense of security if you don't have Christ. What a sacrifice. Now, these are the days of change, days of rapid change, and many people can't take it, can't handle it. I find it a bit hard sometimes. It's happening so quickly, more quickly than ever. And people who depend on things or happenings or other people for security find themselves on quicksand. Quicksand, nothing solid underneath them. There's a chorus that we sing. Things come and go, friends change, I know, but Jesus is ever the same. There you are, there's your solidarity. There's your foundation. Meet the thousands of people in hospitals and see how many of them are secure. Rich people who trust so much in their riches, they get shaky when they face surgery. I've seen them, I've talked to them in hospital. Self-confident people faced with a serious illness go to pieces. But a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows his sins are forgiven, who's sure of a place in heaven, who has proved the word of God, he says, like John Wesley used to say, I'll go to bed and I'll wake up in heaven. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Wonderful one to remember. That's a promise for the true believer. Are you a true believer? Have you been born again? Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Are you sure? Do you know for sure that if you died tonight you'd go straight to heaven? Do you know? You need to know. And we'd love to help you to get to that position. For we know. I'd like to read this one. I know I've memorized it, but I want to read it, make it stronger. Romans 8, 28. It's a good one. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There you are. We know. K-N-O-W, that's a strong word. A wonderful word. Do you know that all things work together for good? Or have you sacrificed that? Not taken it up? What have you got instead? Luck? Don't trust in luck. Hit or miss? Don't trust in that. When it costs you the one unchanging thing, you have sacrificed security. It's a bad bargain. Number four, The sacrifice of the highest life. The highest life. Many people appear to live good lives in the sense that they achieve much. It's a blessing to see that. Wonderful. The world honours and remembers many people through knighthoods and doctorates while they live, and monuments and plaques on buildings after they're gone. Many of these have made notable contributions to the welfare and good of mankind, and we can be thankful. But while they've made these contributions, they were not necessarily happy. They were not necessarily fulfilled in themselves. People who have climbed to fame in sports or music or something like that and later come to Christ, they've always said they were not fulfilled. Even with the best that this world has to offer. The best that a human can reach outside of Christ is but a caricature of true life. True life. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's the true life. That's what he has come to bring us. Come with me to John chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. 34. John 8, 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The highest life is not one of bondage, not one of slavery. The true highest life is free from all those things. The highest life that earth can offer is bondage and slavery. And the highest life that earth can live, can offer you is of temporary nature. The real high life in Christ is one that is free forever. And I had the reading of Ephesians chapter 2. Beautiful verses that we love, first of all, and then it goes on, but verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." For, it's consecutive here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Isn't it better to be the product of a super craftsman? I read about a certain election campaign. There's a fair bit of that hovering around at the moment. It's going to build up even more, isn't it? And there was an outstanding candidate, and he stood and he made his speech and his policy speech. He gave his biography and so on, and he said, "I'm a self-made man." And there was an interjector towards the back, and he said, "Yeah, and you knocked off too soon." Yeah. But what arrogance. To boast of being a self-made man, oh, don't do it. I'd rather have the Creator who started me come back and polish me up. I need it. I need renovation. All those things. But those who reject Jesus Christ sacrifice the opportunity of having the hand of the master craftsman, bring out the best for them. Are you letting him bring out the best in you? It's a great sacrifice if you're not. Too much to pay that cost. Well, number five, the loss. The sacrifice of Christ's acknowledgement. If you don't acknowledge him, don't expect him to acknowledge you. I think it's that's in simple language. You who are outside of Christ, if you've rejected or neglected Christ, you pay a huge price to stay out of Christ. A huge price. Of course, the whole philosophy of this consumer crazy world is indulge now, and pay later. You'll pay all right. Wouldn't it be a better idea to lay a good foundation and enjoy eternity? Much better, a much better deal. Come with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 32 and 33. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The recognition, the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ is worth having, but it's best not to lose it. That's too great a cost. If you confess that he's God the Son, confess that he died for your sins, confess that you're trusting in the cleansing blood, confess that you believe he rose again from among the dead, confess that he's your Lord and Saviour, then he'll confess that he knows you and loves you and has saved you, and he'll acknowledge you in heaven. But there's the other part, the other side of the question. If you deny him before men, you deny him by your statements, perhaps statements of denial, perhaps by silent scorn, perhaps by being neutral. There's no neutral position. Perhaps by your failure to acknowledge him. Perhaps by just avoiding the issue. You'll be denied before the Father. That's too great a sacrifice. Too great a price to pay. Have a look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Mark 8, 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He's coming to catch us up, to meet him in the air, and he's going to take us to the judgment seat of Christ. And we don't want to be ashamed at the judgment seat as Christians, but if you're not in those who are taken, you've got great tribulation and awful things to face. But we don't want to be denied before the Father. You don't want to continue as an unwashed sinner. We come now to number 6. The 6th sacrifice that you make would be the sacrifice of eternal life. You need it. Romans 6:23, which we so often quote, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages you earn, gift you receive. It's a much better deal, isn't it? A much better bargain to receive the gift of eternal life rather than bear the consequences, the wages of sin. John chapter 3 contains some of our most favourite scripture. John chapter 3, but I'll start in verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest gift. God gave his Son. Have you received that gift? You can't afford not to. You must receive that gift. Otherwise, eternity is a misery. Are you among the whosoever? Whosoever will may come. Or are you rejecting the gift? That's very sad. This is the cost. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's no need to sustain that terrible loss when you can have this wonderful gain, the wonderful gift, because Jesus paid it all and he offers you salvation as a free gift. Have you received it? Do you know you've received it? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you're headed for heaven? we'd love to help you. You need help if you don't know, if you're not sure, or if you only think so. You need help, and we'd love to help you tonight. Don't miss out. Face up to the high cost of not being saved, the high cost of not being a Christian, and let's do something about it tonight. I pray that you will. Amen.